Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Voluntary Madness by Nora Vincent is a non-fiction memoir, an investigative account of voluntary psychiatric hospitalization in the United States, written after the emotional collapse that followed her earlier immersive project Self-Made Man. The book follows Vincent as she enters three different mental health facilities while also confronting her own depression. And the work is not a clinical study or a comprehensive policy report. Its purpose is more personal and observational, combining the vulnerability of a patient narrative with the critical eye of a journalist. Vincent examines how psychiatric institutions define safety, illness, treatment, compliance, and recovery, while also showing how difficult it is to separate observation from need when the observer is genuinely struggling. The book is controversial because its method depends on immersion and concealment, yet it remains significant for the way it exposes the daily texture of psychiatric care, including medication routines, therapy cultures, bureaucracy, class differences, and the uncertain boundary between help and confinement. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, immersive journalism complicated by genuine psychological need. The central tension of voluntary madness is that Vincent is both a reporter and a patient. She does not enter psychiatric institutions as a detached observer, pretending to have no connection to the subject. Her depression is real, and the experience that led to the project was rooted in an earlier hospitalization after the strain of Self-Made Man. This dual role gives the book much of its force because she can describe institutional life from a vulnerable position rather than from the safe distance of a visiting journalist. At the same time, it creates ethical and interpretive problems. Her observations are shaped by illness, medication, fear, irritation, and defensiveness, all of which affect what she notices and how she judges it. The result is not a neutral survey of mental health care, but a self-aware and sometimes uneasy account of what it means to investigate a system while needing that same system. This makes the book valuable less as definitive evidence and more as a study of entanglement. Vincent shows that psychiatric care cannot be understood only through policies, diagnoses, or professional ideals. It is experienced through dependency, distrust, boredom, coercion, hope, and the unstable question of whether help can be accepted without surrendering authority over oneself. Secondly, three facilities reveal how class and setting shape psychiatric care. Vincent structures the book around three different treatment environments, each representing a distinct version of institutional psychiatry. The large urban hospital is portrayed as overwhelmed, impersonal, and oriented toward immediate containment rather than sustained therapy. In that setting, safety and medication dominate because staff must manage acute distress, limited time, and many patients with complex needs. The private clinic offers more comfort and individualized attention, including a setting that makes recovery feel more plausible because patients are treated less like administrative burdens. The upscale retreat introduces a different therapeutic culture, one that leans toward introspection, emotional excavation, and alternative or spiritually influenced approaches. By moving through these spaces, Vincent makes a practical point about inequality in mental health treatment. Care is not only determined by diagnosis or clinical philosophy. It is also determined by money, staffing, architecture, institutional mission, and the social status of the patient population. The book does not claim that expensive care automatically cures people, but it suggests that environment powerfully affects dignity and possibility. A person in crisis may respond differently when treated as a problem to be stabilized, a client to be supported, or a wounded self expected to participate in a long emotional process. Thirdly, medication, therapy, and the problem of being heard. One of the recurring concerns in voluntary madness is the imbalance between medication management and meaningful listening. Vincent repeatedly notices how quickly psychiatric care can become organized around pills, dosage changes, symptom reports, and compliance. Medication is not presented simply as useless or malicious. Vincent herself remains involved with psychopharmacological treatment, and the book recognizes that drugs can reduce suffering and make basic functioning possible. Her criticism is aimed more at the institutional tendency to substitute medication for relationship. In the most pressured settings, patients may be medicated before anyone has seriously explored what they are saying, why they are desperate, or what kind of help might restore agency. This creates a paradox. Psychiatry can protect people from immediate danger, yet the same routines may make them feel unseen, passive, or chemically managed rather than understood. Vincent also questions therapeutic environments that rely heavily on language, confession, or emotional frameworks without necessarily proving more effective. The book, therefore, avoids a simple anti-medication argument. Its sharper point is that treatment fails when it becomes mechanical, whether the mechanism is a prescription pad, a bureaucratic checklist, or a therapeutic script. Recovery requires tools, but also interpretation, trust, and sustained attention to the person using those tools. Fourthly, patients appear as individuals rather than symbols of illness, although Vincent often writes with a sharp and sometimes judgmental voice. The book devotes considerable attention to the people she meets inside the institutions. Fellow patients are not treated only as examples of diagnostic categories. They appear as complicated individuals whose distress is linked to addiction, trauma, loneliness, family breakdown, poverty, or repeated encounters with the mental health system. This emphasis matters because psychiatric institutions often reduce people to risk levels, symptoms, medication schedules, and discharge plans. Vincent shows how institutional life can flatten identity, making it difficult for patients to be recognized outside their illness. At the same time, she does not romanticize the ward. Patients can be intrusive, frightened, manipulative, funny, perceptive, or exhausting. This uneven portrayal is part of the realism of the book. Mental illness is not converted into moral purity, and suffering does not automatically make people easy to live with. By recording these tensions, Vincent challenges both stigma and sentimentality. The reader is asked to see patients as human beings under pressure, not as inspirational figures or frightening outsiders. The daily social world of the ward becomes a place where vulnerability, dependency, irritation, and unexpected solidarity coexist, often within the same interaction. Personal agency emerges as both necessary and insufficient. A major conclusion of Voluntary Madness is that no institution, medication, therapist, or ideology can heal a person without some form of active participation by the sufferer. Vincent returns to the idea that recovery demands effort, honesty, and a willingness to confront patterns that cannot simply be outsourced to professionals. This emphasis on agency gives the book its philosophical center, but it is also one of its most contested elements. If stated too simply, the claim can sound like an unfair burden placed on people whose illnesses may severely limit motivation, judgment, or capacity. The strength of the book is that it shows both sides. Institutions can fail patients through neglect, overmedication, poor listening, and class-based disparities. Yet even the most humane facility cannot do the inner work of recovery on behalf of the patient. Vincent, therefore, presents agency not as a cure-all, but as a condition that systems should help restore rather than replace. The book is most persuasive when it treats responsibility and care as interdependent. People in crisis need protection, medicine, structure, and compassion, but they also need opportunities to regain authorship over their own lives. The danger lies in systems that either abandon patients to willpower or smother them in treatment without autonomy. In conclusion, Voluntary Madness is best suited for readers interested in mental health memoirs, psychiatric institutions, narrative journalism, and the lived experience of treatment rather than a strictly academic account of psychiatry. It will be especially useful to readers who want to think critically about how care feels from inside the ward, how class affects treatment options, and why recovery cannot be reduced to either medication or personal will. The book offers intellectual benefits by exposing the tensions between safety and autonomy, treatment and control, diagnosis and identity. Its practical value lies in helping readers understand why patients may distrust institutions even when they need them, and why being heard can matter as much as being stabilized. Compared with more conventional mental health memoirs, the book stands out because Vincent deliberately moves through multiple facilities and writes from the unstable position of both investigator and sufferer. Compared with policy-oriented books, it is narrower and more subjective, but also more immediate. Its limitations are part of its identity. It is not a complete map of American mental health care, and some conclusions may feel blunt or debatable. Yet its blend of personal exposure, institutional observation, and ethical discomfort makes it a distinctive contribution to writing about depression, hospitalization, and psychiatric authority. If you would like to support Nora Vincent, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.